Bienvenue, guten Morgen oder Good Morgen auf Schwedisch heißt es dieses Mal bei Aloha Kalle. Ich hatte nach dem Rennen in Südafrika das Vergnügen, mich einmal mit Rasmus Svensson zu unterhalten, der aktuell bei dem Trainer von Lionel Sanders trainiert, wie er seine Runden empfand und ja, was man einfach von ihm mitnehmen kann, beziehungsweise wie er trainiert, ist doch etwas anders zu der aktuellen wissenschaftlichen Richtung. Und wenn ihr Lust habt, hört rein. Und das zweite Gespräch hat mit Ivan Jarry stattgefunden, der auf alle Fälle beim Ironman in Südafrika eine ganz schöne mentale Herausforderung hatte mit zwei Platten und das dann trotzdem meistert und auch ein Athlet ist, der die Rennen, egal wie, immer ins Ziel bringt. Also definitiv sehr interessant, aber auch er spricht über seine Trainingsansätze, wie er trainiert. Und es ist halt beides komplett konträr und trotzdem beides sind richtig gute Athleten. Und es ist sehr interessant, da mal reinzuhören. Wir würden uns freuen, wenn ihr einfach hier auf diese Extra-Episode klickt und dann natürlich auch bis zu Ende quasi Zeit habt, euch die Meinung oder die Infos der beiden Athleten anzuhören. Und wenn es möglich ist und ihr noch die ein oder andere Minute Zeit habt, dann schreibt uns doch gerne Feedback, ob das echt ist, worauf ihr Bock habt, ob ihr das gerne hört und ja, ob das Spaß macht, nach dem Rennen quasi nicht nur meine Perspektive zu haben, sondern vielleicht auch die Perspektive des einen oder anderen Athleten. Ja, also klar, na, wäre jetzt natürlich nur der und der noch möglich gewesen, aber irgendwie ist es dann zeitlich halt immer alles ein bisschen schwierig. Ich denke aber trotzdem, mir macht es mega Spaß, auch mit denen zu sprechen, weil es dann schon auch meine Gegner sind, aber danach sich dann nochmal auszutauschen, kann auch ich viel mitnehmen und ja, daran quasi euch als Hörer hier direkt dran beteiligen zu lassen, ist, denke ich, eine gute Möglichkeit. Wir würden uns freuen, ja, also einen Daumen hoch, wenn wir das weitermachen sollen und nach dem Rennen dann Montag oder Dienstag sich dafür Zeit nehmen. Oder ob euch das überhaupt nicht interessiert, ist auch okay, dann lassen wir es komplett weg. In dem Sinne, ich wünsche viel Spaß bei dieser Freitagsepisode mit zweimal, einmal dem Gespräch mit Konrad und mir und dem Gespräch mit den beiden Athleten. In dem Sinne, wechselt jetzt die Sprache, es geht jetzt weiter in Englisch und ich wünsche euch viel Spaß beim Hören. Bonjour or hello. To Aloha Kalle, Ivan Jarry. We will not go into French because this one is the first episode in English. And luckily we had two pro athletes racing Ironman South Africa besides me this weekend. And yeah, we just want to have a look inside to your race and how do you feel and how do you experience the life, yeah, traveling the world and aiming for Kona qualification. So first of all, how you are today?
Thanks, Marcus, for having me. I'm destroyed today. 2 days, no, just one day after the race. Yeah, pain everywhere, sunburn, living the dream.
Yeah, it sounds really great. So yeah, back to maybe we just started from the really beginning. So we had the pleasure to check up the waves on Saturday and yeah, to test the ocean and to see how rough it is. And you were talking to Niels Frommer and had a good conversation. So yeah, maybe let's give the listeners and all the age groupers some insights. How do you discover the ocean? And yeah, how do you interact with other pros according to the distance of the swim?
I think that Saturday the ocean was, yeah, really choppy and the sea really rough. But I think that Sunday it was worst, really. Do you know it was what?
Yeah, I think it was choppy, yeah. And yeah. It was like going up and down and no idea where we actually swam.
So yeah, it was like that the Saturday. And I think like good swimmer want to swim the whole distance. Average swimmer was quite okay with 1.9 kilometers, and maybe the weakest swimmer want to swim only 700 meters. So yeah, Niels was definitely one of the guy who want to swim the whole distance because, yeah, especially with rough sea, you can make like more gap to the strong cyclists. So he play in his in his game.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, and nevertheless, so the race organization decided to shorten the swim like it is in the media. But now back to your race. I think you had a quite decent swim and entered the first pack just behind Jesper Svensson, who was a long time in the lead. So, and yeah, you settled in the first pack. And at that point, the race seemed to be quite good. And yeah, like you told me, you felt quite well. So yeah, just give you some insights maybe from the first 45 minutes to first hour of the race.
I was really happy with the swim because all the year I didn't swim quite well in every races. And so especially I was happy because I swim with the front group really easily. And also because normally I hate condition like that when it's in the ocean and there is like big chop and big waves. And so, yeah, I took a pretty bad start, but I make some gains and, yeah, finish the swim clearly in the front of the front pack. And, after we were quite a big group on the bike, it started really fast because, Anthony Cost and Sam Lelo want to bridge the gap really quickly to Jesper Svensson. But maybe after, I don't know, 25K, something like that, like the pace starts really to slow down a little bit. But at this point of the race, unfortunately, I have a flat tire on the front wheel. So I try to road like that for 5K and I decide to stop in and repair it. And I lost a lot of time there. So basically my race was over with the dynamics and all the stuff like that.
It's unfortunately you told me you had this experience in Ironman, not the first time. I just remember Tulsa, back in the days. No, it was this year, where you also had a flat. So at that point, going here with your girlfriend to South Africa and maybe putting in a lot of work leading up to the race, but yeah, like it's a penalty or it's a flat tire, but it's all the same shit. So how do you cope with this mentally? Still to stick on and go on for another 150K, but knowing, okay, it's really, really getting difficult to get up in the mix again.
Yes. Just the, when I had the flat, the first time I still could manage to only lost like 2 minutes and 30 seconds. So Sebastian Kielner, for example, and Rasmus Svenningsson was still behind. So I say in my head, oh, I have a chance to go with them and bridge the gap to the front. And actually, it's what was happening. But after like 80K on the bike, the front wheel start to lose some pressure again. And I rode like the whole second loop with only two bars. So it was like clearly impossible to go fast. And yeah, basically from this point, especially because in Tulsa I have the same problem with two flats. In Tulsa I fought till the end because it was my first Ironman I want to learn. But this time, yeah, I have some really big difficulty to be focused and fight to the end. But I want to pull. I want to pull out the race like a lot of time, but at the end of the day, I finished the race and I was quite happy with that.
And I think like it's always easier to, even if it's getting really, really worse, bringing it on like, St. George with like other guys like George Rich Goodwin, who was the winner second place he was second in Daytona. Sorry.
Yes.
Second. And also
third.
Okay. Also finishing these races. But Yeah, like it's a really hard experience, and I just can take my crown or take the head. I don't know how to say it in English. Doing this stuff and already cope with these mental challenges, and especially like for pro athletes, we try and then we are maybe done like in 10 hours or 11 hours, but for age groupers, it could be even worse, like having a day of 14 or 15 or 16 hours with difficulties and problems. So do you have any advices for them? How they could act in this situation, especially like you said, you had the kind of motivation that there is like Zebi coming and Rasmus, but yeah, we have some technical support. Unfortunately, not for you because you didn't have a disc wheel. So I have to maybe think about a new bike for next year, you as well, just to be in a mix and having the wide choice. So, but these guys have to do all their stuff on their own. So what you would advise them to get the day done?
I think that when you are on start line, no matter what, you want to finish. It's the first goal that you said. You choose to be there and train for that and to experience the whole distance and the whole, I think, Ironman things. So, and if you are some bad luck or the race goes in the wrong direction, I think it's in like life, you have like some stuff that are happening. And from this point, the goal is to make the best stuff of this situation and reach the finish line as fast as you can. I think it's the only thing that you can really do, because shit's happened and you clearly can't change anything when it's there.
Yeah, for sure. Like if there's another storm, you just have to ride it on, and then after that the sun is coming out again. So so far so good. And actually I have two major points in this talk. Again, it's not all about the race now. As the first one is about training, because like this podcast is existing out of two perspectives, from your perspective and Rasmus. And just to let you know, he was like talking to me earlier, he's doing a lot of work below threshold or at threshold or waist pace. And I don't know exactly your schedule, but when we are like for a race, we try to share a flat, I really know that you are able to run like 5 minute plus per K on your easy jog and then doing really fast stuff. So in my opinion, compared to him, it's the complete opposite. It's like a lot of Norwegians guys train, and how do they do their work? So just maybe let us know why this kind of work or this polarized training suits you the best.
I think that compared to Rasmus, and I think like both of you came from short distance racing, so we are quite used to train like really polarized, so going really slow and going really fast. And to be honest, like training like Rasmus, like every day going quite hard, I think I couldn't do that. So yeah, I think the training is really different, but I'm not like close to try something new or.
No, but like your training seems to work as well. So like you finished 12th in Nice, I think third in Lisabon this year. So, but do you do that because of too high fatigue, controlling the stress? Or why do you think like your way suits you the best? Just to I'm completely with you. I can't do these efforts every day, so I would be completely done by maybe 3 weeks, and the season would be over. maybe just give us some insights why the another way suits you more.
I think because you need to. I think that if you are able to go really fast at some point, every like pace below this this pace gonna be easy, gonna be easier. So I think if you are able to run like 3 minutes pace per K, that it's gonna be way easier to run like 3:30 or 3:20 for 70.3 pace, and like 3:45 or 3:50 for Ironman pace. I think that. And yeah, if you want to like put like a lot of hours on training, you need to do the easy training really easy to be able to recover from the hard stuff and all the feeling like that.
Yeah, for sure. I'm the same. I have the same opinion. And like, because now another point of polarized training, it's directly bringing us to like Gustav Iden and Christian Blumenfeld. And they are really putting the hammer down these days on long distance. And like these guys will lead up to some more Ironman races in the next years. What do you think will be the change for us to be competitive with them? And what will be the next generation of Ironman and Ironman 70.3 races? And what we have to do to race them or race against them?
I think that it was clear that the level on Ironman distance gonna really increase like after the Olympics. And basically was like that since a long time ago. After every Olympics, there is like short course distance. We're gonna try to do Ironman stuff because it's like the normality of the sports. Like every runners are gonna start like 5K, then 10K, then going to marathon after that. And there is like a lot of really strong guy who gonna join the Ironman festivity. But I think that, for example, that the Norwegian guys like Christian and Gustav have a training with, they always since like long time train really hard and really for quite big volume. And they are already quite, how do you say?
Fit?
No, not fit, but used to
a lot of volume, yeah.
Lot of volume, and also they are really scientific, so they are already at the pointy end of aero stuff, and the game of their nutrition was really high too. So I think those two guys are really specifics, and I'm not sure that. Every short distance guy now on the circuit who came to Ironman had the same success directly.
Yeah, for sure. Like also, there's a third guy like Kasper Staunitz. He did the first try in Frankfurt and he did not manage to end up well because of his nutrition or setup. I don't really know, but I think it was his nutrition. But like you come to the point of nutrition and aerodynamics, and we just had a talk because like 5 years ago Sebastian Kienle or another guy maybe from Germany were always called the German Überbikers, or like the French guy Antonis Costes was creating his own
Aero bars.
So, and was really known for that one. And we had just a talk at dinner yesterday night, and you were saying that the aero game is really increasing. So, and you were with Swisside and also did some work with them. What changes do you see in the major pro field? According to aerodynamics, is there a real change? What do you see maybe in the top 80 in the world, what they do now and what they haven't done in the past?
I think now that everybody on long course distance understand that the aerodynamics is quite important. So I think that everybody now doing a lot of effort on this topic and try to understand how it works, try to find a way to test their position, if it's in the wind tunnel or the track, or do their, you know, own test. I think now if you're not able to do that, you have absolutely no chance, because everybody do that, and the level of the aerodynamics understanding in long distance racing is quite high at the moment. So I think like guys who are really strong and have like some you know already test it before everybody, now lost this advantage compared to the others.
Yeah, for sure. So like there's going more on, and nearly every pro tries to get on the track in Cologne in Germany or in the wind tunnel. So like you already said, everybody is going full gas into this one. And just to finish up this talk here, you also had a decent Ironman in Copenhagen and had the joy to run with Lionel Sanders. And I just read on your Instagram that you had a chat. So, yeah, I don't really know. And I'm not into this sport of, I don't know, fighting or so. And I think it's American sport. But maybe, just let us know how you have this fun of, doing an Ironman and shedding the first half marathon of it with Lionel.
It was quite funny because, like, we didn't chat like straight after the beginning of the run, but at some point there is his girlfriend maybe at the phone. There was like on the side of the road, but there is like actually in Copenhagen was quite cool because even with the COVID situation, there is like quite a big crowd. So it was like a lot of people were cheering the athlete. And the girlfriend of Lionel was like in the phone, but the phone on high speaker with probably his coach. And I don't know what's the purpose of the call, but they try to that the Lionel can hear what actually the coach was saying on the high speaker of the phone. So I start to smile because the situation was completely crazy. And so he start to laugh about the situation too. And at this point, we start like to start speaking about completely different other stuff than triathlon and triathlon racing. So yeah, we start talking about a little bit of UFC because we follow the UFC and me too. So yeah, we chat a little bit of that. The pacing that we are running, who's gonna win the race, who's gonna blow up. So it was quite funny to do that. But everybody is talking about that after the race. But I was like just talking with normal guy because I'm not like crazy fan of Lionel. But actually, he's quite a nice guy.
Yeah, I had also a nice chat in Texas, and I think he's like humbled and just doing his sport.
Yeah, he's not like, you know, he had like some his media stuff, and he's good for his game. But it was quite nice.
Yeah, for sure. So, like a tough season for you, and a lot of racing and traveling with all the US trips and all over Europe. So what is on the target for next year? Let us have a short insight.
This season was quite tough because I changed a lot of stuff last year, new coach, new city. And I was at the end of the winter, I do really strong winter, and I improve a lot on training. And unfortunately, when I was in top shape, I had some flat or bad luck in races. So I'm a little bit annoying about the situation because I have the feeling that I couldn't like show what I'm able to do this year on race day. But I'm quite motivated for next year to continue to learn on Ironman distance and put some good 70.32, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, thanks a lot. And I really enjoy always this day, like back in 2018 and now again. Hopefully see you on the race side on race course soon, and enjoy your holidays here in South Africa, and see you next year.
Yeah, thank you for having me, and see you next year.
One, two, three. Aloha. Rasmus, welcome to Aloha Kalle. Just to let you know, it's called Aloha Kalle because my nickname is Kalle, not Markus Herbst. So, and this podcast actually describes the way or the purpose qualifying for Ryan Kona. And yeah, it seems to be that we as pro athletes have the same purpose. It's maybe, I think, your main goal as well. You're already qualified for the for the Ironman World Championships in St. George, but yeah, finished third yesterday. And yeah, maybe we could share some impression from the race, how you feel and how do you experience your race. And I just say how I experience it, and just to give the age groupers an overview how it is. And I think at this moment you're maybe a little bit known in Germany with your self Ironman last year in Sweden. There was a big article in the media. So yeah, first of all, hopefully you're fine. And congratulations to your third place. And how do you feel today?
It's great to be on the show. I feel pretty smashed today, as you should feel after an Ironman. I feel good and satisfied. I really, got everything out of what I had in myself yesterday. So yeah, no regrets really. It was a good day. Not a perfect day, but an Ironman is never like a perfect day, I think. It was a really good day for sure.
Yeah, like do you now have targeting the Kona qualification twice? And this was, if I remember right, in Klagenfurt, you have been one spot away with the second place behind Dennis Chevreau, and here you are also third and also one place behind. With my 9th one, I'm a little bit further. So, but is it bittersweet or you're still confident?
Yeah, it was bittersweet for sure. I mean, it would have been nice to have secured that slot because I really, really want to go to Kona in October 22. I think that, both my performance yesterday and my performance in Klagenfurt definitely, it will come if I can continue to deliver on that level. I'm pretty sure that I think the chances are quite high that I will finally get that Kona slot. But we'll see.
Yeah, for sure. I think we will both made it in 2022. So let's come to the race, and especially to your training. You're quite open-minded, more than me on Strava. Everybody can really follow all your data and all that stuff. And I just remember, like, back in 2019, I think it was your first pro 70.3 in Finland.
Yeah.
But you managed to really put the data in watts high. So I think maybe the watts you put in 70.3 2 years ago is now your Ironman data. So that's quite impressive. And the level is increasing. And I think, like, you are one of the guys who's really pushing the bike level insanely. For me and also for all the age groupers. So what were the biggest changes that you like increased that well? What do you think, in your opinion?
I think the biggest difference is for sure, me being able to do the sport full time. And after 2019, I finally graduated from university. And at that time, I took the decision to focus full time on triathlon. And that has, really made a big, big difference for me. So in terms of like overall training volume, it's a massive difference. So I think that's probably the biggest explanation. And I think also, I'm really I'm really also diligent with the quality of the training. It's not just getting the hours in. I think, you know, I've seen that, you know, many people do like endurance rides extremely easy. And I think especially for Ironman performance, I think, you know, you shouldn't go insanely hard, but you should, it should be like a slightly bit uncomfortable. It shouldn't be like a training session is still a training session. It's not like a socializing thing. I think that's, that could probably be one of the keys also, that I'm actually really, really focused on the training session. And especially on the bike, I think it's kind of risk-free to go like a little bit harder on the endurance rides and so on. And on the run, it's a little bit different matter. Then you have to take into consideration how prone to injury you are and et cetera. But I think on the bike, if we're talking bike performance, I think especially age groupers, they won't, it won't hurt if they like put like a little bit more focus on the endurance ride. I would say it's better to maybe do the endurance rides a little bit harder, and then, you know, they don't need to do this really insanely hard.
So everybody can follow this app, so like I already say, but then like you told, the fatigue is getting really, really high. So in my opinion, for me at this time, but like if I see this, I don't know if you do any ride below 300 watts. I don't know. I don't think so. So
how I do 6 hour rides is below 300.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. but just slightly. So, but how do you actually manage the fatigue then? So I think, isn't it a big deal then?
Sure. And I think I've been it has occurred to me sort of like at this late stage of the season that it's been quite taxing on the body and mind as well to continue to do like this really high quality volume training for a long time. So now at this point, I'm really looking forward to take some off season and recharge the batteries to start building up again. You need to be extremely diligent with rest and sleep and fueling also, of course, to be able to make it. And I'm super, like, sleep is a very super important thing for me, and I nap almost every day, so otherwise I don't think I would be able to do the kind of training that I do without having the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, so like you are talking a lot of endurance ride, or say it's slightly below threshold, I think then. Normally the Nordic people do a lot of VO2max work, or not at all when you're fully focusing on Ironman?
No, I basically do no like high intensity VO2max work. I don't think I've done any intervals like over threshold in the last 6 months. It's very much, but I do very much work at like 70.3 intensity also. That's the kind of sort of interval workouts that I do, and then often like low cadence as well to build the strength. I found that when you have like a great strength and can put out good power at low cadence, and then you also develop a really, really great fatigue resistance in your muscles as well. So that's a great tip. And I think maybe you should be like a little bit careful with a really intense kind of work. I think you can probably do quite much intensity, but then you it's better to do like, I mean, you don't need to do it like super, super hard. It's better to prolong the duration of the, so it's like, it's better to do like 4 times 10 minutes than like 5 times 4 minutes, for instance, really hard. Because then you're like double the duration, but the intensity isn't quite as high. That would be my tips, and especially for Ironman. But yeah, that's it, it seems to work for me. I don't know, for other people it might be better to focus on the high intensity stuff.
Yeah, but like, it's really interesting because like in Germany we have some coaches really going in this high intensity stuff and focusing nearly all year round about that. So but like I just read on the PTO like you have and continued just podium finishes this year as a pro athlete, so it seems to be a good way to improve the performance and performance. So yeah, thanks for the insights and training. And yeah, now let's come to the race. So in my view, like I was out of the water quite comfortable in the front pack, and everybody was knowing, okay, there will be maybe Xavi and Rasmus coming from the back, and nobody knows when, but it was for sure that there will be like a hard white is coming. So and then there was like Jesper Svensson and Sam Laidlaw going in front, and nobody really did work or an effort to catch them back. So at around, I would probably say like, let's say 55 to 65K, you managed to bridge the gap to the main pack, and Jesper and Sam were basically in front. And then, yeah, actually it was like pedal to the metal. And there was like little changes. Maurice was coming and Xavier's like going more in front and orientating towards you. So did you really put a lot of effort to split the group? Because it just took like 4K or 5K and we were out of 15, we were four or five. So, or you just stick to your pace?
Well, I mean, yeah, I basically just stick to my pace. Maybe I like overpaced a little bit, but I definitely didn't have like my purpose wasn't to break up the like put in like a massive effort to try and split up the group, because I think it's you can look at it either way, you know. Maybe I think that I know at this time that there are very few people that can ride with me, and I think when you're sort of like only within citation marks is taking your own pace, then there are a lot of people that think that they can follow you for quite some time. Like and I was actually surprised, you know, it was like it blew up so fast behind me. I thought, you know, you would hang in there for maybe like another 40, 50K or so. And then it's like, you know, you have a good hand in poker. You don't want to bet money too aggressively, because then you're going to lose your, you want to get the other players to invest in the pot. And I think you want to sort of like fool them a little bit to try and stay with you. And then they blow up later instead of just, you know, putting in a massive search and then, you know, you get the gap and then you can, then you start putting in time. Yeah, maybe you can gain a little bit more extra time, but you're not getting your contenders equally tired. So, yeah, basically put in my pace. Maybe I think I may have overpaced just slightly on the way back, in the headwind. So that I put out like 10 watts more than I had planned to. But I felt really good at that time. And, it was also, I mean, when you sort of like surge up to the front, that's also like a real confidence boost. And it also takes like a lot of effort to pass a big group like that, in order to stay within the rules and not spend more than 25 seconds to overtake every guy. But yeah, I pretty much stayed at my pace. So
yeah, so like, yeah, it's fine to hear that and that it was your pace. Like I can just say that like Maurice, Xavi and me, it was just like trying to hang on as long as possible, and unfortunately due to two legs water and stuff like that I got completely dehydrated. But nevertheless, like this ride was really insane. So you told me that, Zebi, what did he say at the finish line?
Yeah, Zebi told me, yeah, this was like the craziest ride that he had done. So that was pretty cool, you know, coming from like a legendary Uber biker. And, you know, Zebi has been, he's been my idol for, since I started with triathlon. He's the one, you know, showing it how to do it on the bike, and you know, being able to first catch him and then pull away from him on the bike. That was like, that was really cool, and I can live. I can. That's gonna bring me a lot of joy for a lot of time.
Yeah, for sure. So, like, I was really wondering because there was no effort from Zebi or anybody.
Yeah.
Maybe doing some work or going in the front. It was just, okay, just let's follow Rasmus. So, yeah, at the end, you ended up in the group of four. I had to stick then to my own pace. And Diran, you couldn't start with them because maybe you told me that you had a slower transition. So, but did you try to catch them again or not really?
No, not really. I think, you know, you need to... I mean, for me, it's I've had this before that I've been really struggling at the beginning of the marathon, and for in Austria, for instance, my legs were extremely smashed. This time, my legs felt clearly better, but I was like overall very exhausted, and I think I was also very dehydrated as well because you lost a lot of bottles due to the rough roads here. So I can totally relate to that as well. So I felt like I had kind of a bad patch going out on the run. The run in itself was quite a bad patch, but especially in the beginning I felt like a bit dizzy at first, and I thought, you know, if I'm going to be able to finish like in a solid way, and then I need to take my own pace, and maybe I can work myself into it. That would be, you know, the greatest chance for me to, you know, to finish as fast as possible. So I just didn't stress, and at the second aid station, I think it was, I stayed for maybe 30, 40 seconds and just drank like a ton of liquids to get my hydration status back on track. I started feeling much better after that, and then could, you know, slowly titrate the pace up a little bit. I actually felt better and better as the marathon progressed. It was definitely the first half marathon was insanely hard, and it's so much a mental thing also because you have so far to go, and that's really hard. But it's just you try to shut down mentally and just, you know, let the kilometers tick away, and then suddenly you're one third, and then you're like halfway, and then you're two thirds, and then it's like, yeah, it's only 10K, and yeah, that gets your energy back in some weird way. But so the last 10K actually felt quite strong, and I knew that, you know, they were too far up to secure the Kona slot, but I was still my greatest motivation was to be able to share the podium with Zebi, because he's such a legend, and just, you know, standing on the same podium as him would be that's a dream come true. So that was my main motivation for sure during the last 10K to really hang on for third.
It's really insane to hear that in the podcast. So you were talking about hydration and dehydration.
Yeah.
Do you train that, like being dehydrated and filling up it in training, or not really?
No, not really. And I think I've been really diligent with nutrition and keeping keeping track on the carbs and so on. And I think I really nailed the nutrition on this race. I didn't have any GI issues or so. So that was really great. But I didn't. I hadn't anticipated it was going to be such a hot day yesterday. I definitely was a little bit careless when it came to hydration yesterday. I didn't keep track on how much I took in actually. So that's definitely, you know, a big homework from this race. But I don't train to get hydrated. It's more like I would train to take in like a lot of fluids, and that would be sort of my approach, because I train that when it comes to nutrition and taking in a lot of carbs in training. So for the GF system to be able to handle that, I'll probably train that more when it comes to just taking liquids as well, and getting the GI system used to that also.
Yeah, I think like it's the same for me, like hydration work and liquids intake.
Yeah,
it's a good experience, especially if we made it to Kona next year. I think this should be scheduled, and we should have done our homework there. Otherwise, the dehydration is be even worse than here.
Yeah.
So I hopefully you enjoyed the talk. Thanks a lot, and I really appreciate to have another pro contender here. And if you have any advice, maybe to our German listeners if they do Ironman, maybe just give them one advice or one motivation for doing Ironman.
When it comes to advice, I would say, and this is like the same with the pro athletes also, maybe even more to the pro athlete, but I think the age groups are prone to this as well. That you really don't go out on the bike too hard. There are like so many people that push the bike so insanely hard for the first like 10, 15, 20, maybe 30 minutes. And that's just unnecessary. And be confident in that, if you stick to your plan, in the end and by the end of the bike ride, even if like a lot of people passes you, as you go out on the bike, if you stick to your plan, then these things will, you know, end up well. And I think that's exactly what happened to me. I was taking it rather easy the first like 5-10 minutes to really, you know, get warmed up and get the blood flow going in my bike muscles. And there was one guy passing me, and I think he was like maybe half an hour after me in the end. So I just didn't get stressed on that, and trusted that if I can keep my pace and finish the bike with my target power, then things will be really great. And so don't get carried away during the races when people are, you know, doing like stupid things, because people do stupid things during races. And in terms of like best motivation tips, I think, you know, Ironman is an incredible challenge, and try to embrace every part of the challenge, both the physical and the intellectual as well, because you really need to get your, you know, you need to know what you're doing on the day. You need to keep track on the nutrition, the hydration. Yeah, that we still have, you know, things to learn there. Then it's like a massively challenging thing to undertake, the Ironman. So, and that's so cool. That's what keeps me motivated.
Really cool to have the insights, and hopefully you will be guest at this podcast, and maybe also with Coke, the another amateur from Berlin who's normally doing the podcast. And if everything comes together, we do this record again in Kona 2022. Have a safe flight home, and good recovery.
Thank you very much. I hope so too.
Bye.
Bye.